happy opening day for baseball, for the Marlins. And good morning, Dave Hyde's with us this morning. I got Dave to get out of bed again from the Sun Sentinel. And all day, Dan Day filling in. We do have good news. Looks like Danny's wife's getting better, hopefully.
Glad to hear that.
Hollywood. Got a little car accident a few days ago, but everybody seems to be doing okay. But he's going to take a little bit of time off here. So from that standpoint, we always like good news. Nobody wants to go through that. That always puts sports secondary when you get into the personal stuff. But, man, we have a lot of stuff. Pirates, Marlins, opener today, 4-10. Hell of a pitching matchup. I am really curious because yesterday a lot of the talk was actually about the right-hander. And not Sandy Alcantara, but Paul Skeens, who's going to pitch. He was just unbelievable once he started pitching. I think he pitched, what, maybe a half a year.
Yeah.
But he was dominant.
Rookie of the year. He's a right there for the Cy Young favorites right now.
Big 6'6", 260. Throws it 100-plus. 133 innings last year, 170 strikeouts, 11-3 in an ERA. This right out of college. ERA under 2.
This Marlins lineup isn't explosive.
Well, welcome to Major League Baseball today all those guys.
He might pump up that strikeout total today.
Yeah. So I think we're all kind of curious. But, hey, listen, it'd be great, and we're all going to be out there. I know, Dave, you're going to be out there, and I'm going to be out there. And...
Wait. Don't just go over that. You're going to be out there, Joe. You got a marquee moment out there.
I get to be, like, really my whole career, and that is whatever Dan's doing. I get to be part of it. So Dan Marino's going to throw out the first pitch, about 345, 350, whatever that is. And then I get to potentially try to catch it as long as he doesn't get wild with the throw. But if it's too low, too high, too much to the side, don't be standing behind me. it's going to be fun. They got a concert afterwards. I see... Was it Flo Rida is going to be there?
Luis Fonsi and Flo Rida.
Yeah, both going to be there. And then game. And so, listen, they've jacked it up. I think they've sold a lot of tickets for kids are out of school, if people going out there. So, and I played a little catch with Dan Marino yesterday. If anybody was in the neighborhood, we were out in the street. And we played catch. Can you imagine?
Just imagine driving by.
No, I can't. So this woman did, sir, and she kind of looked, and she looked again. It wasn't me. It was him going, why would this man be throwing a baseball? So,
was that for your benefit to catch the ball? Now, how
I haven't played catch and had a glove on, and I started looking and going, you asked me yesterday, and I go, well, I was playing on the NBC softball team and the QAM softball team. It was, I think, mostly co-ed. I started going back to years. I go, oh, my God, more than 25 years ago. And it was weird having the glove back on, even though you go, oh, I played baseball, growing up. And Dave, we did. I mean, that was a guy in his 50s, 60s. Oh, man, I go, yeah, I get it. Baseball was number one, and you played all summer, and you didn't need a lot of guys to play. And
Is it like riding a bike, though? Because I've gone back and tried to play basketball, and you just stumble. And I've caught baseballs, and it's okay, but it's not like second nature anymore.
So it's funny you said that, because the other day we're at Hard Rock, and they had a basket set up out by where we were doing our shows. And I was shooting threes. And I used to, again, play lots of basketball up till I was 40, and I had my back operated on finally, so I stopped. Yeah, he said, you got to stop. So I started losing sports as you get older. Then you can basically just walk and play
tennis. There are chapters to follow.
So, yeah, right. But and it was like throwing it everywhere, and I was like, wow. And I go, well, it's been 30, 40 years since I played basketball. So, yeah.
I'm happy you went out and had a little workout yesterday, because if you hadn't gone out and caught a baseball, and Dan, I'm curious, his arm is just fine, but throwing a baseball, if you haven't done it in 30 years.
Well, he's in the same boat. He hasn't exactly, everybody remember him throwing, bullets down the sideline before safety in a corner and throwing it down the sideline.
And he was drafted by the Kansas City Royals, so
yeah.
he obviously played but
baseball,
we're talking
baseball
a different era
and
of your life.
Right. But again, now everybody's in their 60s. It's a little different. But he still got to go.
My advice would not be to throw off the mound, though, if he hadn't worked out on it. That's where it screws up everybody.
I think everybody's already messing with him. That knows he's doing that. And, you know, our guys aren't the most tender-loving. Like, everybody wants to bust everybody's chops. And so, yeah.
The one goal is don't show up on ESPN's whatever that is. The
That's not even number one. Or, well,
what's number one?
No, that would be part of number one. You're right. The one hopper.
Oh, the one. That's your fear. That's
low.
Your fear. Because you're not going down low. That's going right to the
backside. That falls under the one hopper that you get caught in between, right, and you just try to block it. God bless catchers.
I don't think that will be the issue because I would imagine he's still throwing.
Yeah, he's pretty accurate.
I mean,
he's fine. Look, that guy's played in the biggest games, like, right? He's played in the – I'm sure he's fine.
Well, I'm sure the Pittsburgh viewers watching at home opening day will enjoy it.
By the way, it's kind of cool for them, huh?
Yeah, what a great storyline. I didn't even think of that.
I did, and he is, listen, you know, he's still, they're still mad they didn't, number one draft, that's still a huge story. He would have been perfect there, and as you know, the owner wanted him, and he got overruled by the head coach, who was winning lots of Super Bowls after Bradshaw, and said we should take him, and they took another guy. It ended up defensive lineman, Rivera or something, got crippled in a car accident.
Yeah.
And
Gabe Rivera.
That's right. And then Danny went on and had a Hall of Fame career. So, but he and listen, it's funny because his sister and his mother still live in Pittsburgh. Claire's family's still there. Danny's family, a lot of them are still there, his brother-in-law. And so, and all those cousins on both sides. So it's
Boy, would South Florida sports have been a little different if Pittsburgh had taken him. His life, his journey would be a lot different, too.
How about, not to turn into Dan Marino day here, but he, what was he, the, I always forget.
25th?
Was he the, but no, he was the last, second to last pick in that round, because we played in the Super Bowl, and actually the guy that went after him was one of the great corners to ever play for the Redskins. Played forever.
Darryl Green.
Had the great career. Oh, that first round he was part of, as well as that quarterback class, that's unbelievable. But I still remember him asking me, hey, Ken O'Brien, who is this dude and where is UC Davis that went ahead of me and went to the Jets?
Well, wait a second.
He didn't even know where, like, he didn't, because he hadn't heard of back then.
It's not just him. Don Shula turned to Chuck Connor, who was the director of personnel when the Jets took him and said
Ken O'Brien
said, who's he? John Shula turned to the Dolphins. Who's he? He didn't know who he was either.
That's amazing. but that's where the draft was back then.
Yeah,
right.
Absolutely.
They didn't have all the people all over the and these huge. So. He asked me, yes, and my best friends, it's a big agriculture school. It's about an hour from my hometown. And a lot of my buddies, because in farming and all this stuff, so a lot of guys I went to high school with and parents had ranches, all their kids go to UC Davis. So, well, how good's their football program? I never heard of it. I go, well, it's kind of a Division II program. Back then, they didn't play Cal and Stanford in those schools that much. And so he was really like, and then, you know, they go on to have, actually, Ken O'Brien and Dan had great shootouts in.
Yeah,
some great shootouts. He had Wesley Walker and was throwing, and they had, back then they had some good teams. But, and then Ken O'Brien comes up to me and says, hey, man, my wife knows and is part of your family, married one of your aunts, my aunt. And I was like, oh, my God. So what a small world.
Huh.
So I just kind of. Kenny sat after games and he said, hey, you mind coming out here in the players' parking lot for a sec before you catch the bus? I go, yeah, well, what's going on? It's weird. I never met Ken O'Brien in my life. His wife started talking about the family in Marysville. Man, it was hilarious. Small world, but we get back to stuff that's a lot more important than you telling my life story there. But besides that, you know what's going to be after this week. Now, tennis is going on. And they're getting down, and all day Dan Day did a great job of getting everybody caught up as we're now getting in semifinals, setting up for Saturday and Sunday for the finals. Then everybody's going to Palm Beach for the owners' meetings. I didn't realize that one.
Yeah, that's sort of the spring break of the off season, and it's sort of the where the front office takes a little collective breath as the owners take the stage.
They do, well, because the owner's going to have final say on all this.
A lot of rules going on.
Regulations. And the number one thing, no matter what you think, is going to be the kickoff return. I mean, there is some other stuff, and we're going to talk about it and get into it as everybody this weekend is making their way to Palm
Beach. I'm curious. We'll go through the rules. I want to hear what your thoughts are real quick on – not right now maybe, but maybe later. Just like the Kush Push or the Philadelphia Push.
Yeah, Kush Push.
I'm interested in that.
So it's funny. That is a big thing. That is a big thing because certain teams are really, really want it gone. Green Bay is like jumping up. And Green Bay's got a good team.
The teams that can't stop it want it gone.
And they can't stop it.
Yeah.
So they're going, it's not fair. Meanwhile, there's only two teams really good at it. I didn't realize they had a breakdown of it. You know how good Philly is.
Who's the other team? I don't know.
The other one's just almost as good. Buffalo.
No kidding.
Over the last 3 years.
Which makes sense. You got 6'5", Josh Allen.
Well, you got two of the strongest. Jalen Hurts is also a really strong guy. And Josh Allen. They came out with some stats on that were just unbelievable on percentages. Over 3 years, the Bills and Eagles have run that tush push, and they've had a first down or a touchdown 87%. Wow. So the 3 years, those two teams have run it 163 times combined.
So basically, it's 3rd and 9 every time you get the ball because you're gonna do that and get the first down if it's 4th and 1.
If 3rd and 1 or 4th and 1, you remember the Eagles a couple years ago? We're in midfield or even worse, and they were going for it. There was no like, are you sure? And you know they pushed ahead for 2 or 3 yards like they did to everybody, and then Josh Allen actually got stopped on the controversial call whether he got it or not.
Yeah, it looked ended like he got it.
And it looked like being the difference in the game,
in their season, yeah.
But he's been so good at it. Like, we're running it, and you can't stop it. You can't, you know. So I don't know. I can't get a read because Mike McDaniel came out. I thought it was interesting. He said, no, everybody can run it the same way. Like, Mike doesn't want to change it. Why we're not very good at it.
Mike said, why should some team be penalized for something they do good at?
Yeah. You know,
and I agree with him. That was the
But
right
I was
thing
shocked because we're not very good at it. Tua can't run it, so we run it with Smythe over the years. He goes in motion, stops, and they snap it. By the way, it's whoever's behind center because some teams do use their tight ends. Baltimore uses the tight end sometimes too. But, yeah, it's a weird one. But all these teams struggle, and all the teams that struggle with it, or like Mahomes in Kansas City, he got hurt once. They never let him run it again. He missed a game because he got hurt in that play. I'm curious. They only need 24 or 32, and nobody knows how these owners are going to vote. Don't most of them vote off what their GM and head coach tell them?
I think that what the football side. One of the Philadelphia papers went through all the Kush pushes. Whatever they're called. Saw that only on half the time Philadelphia runs it does somebody actually push Jalen Hurts. The other times it's just they're around him, but they're not pushing him, and he's just using the offensive line.
Well, they have the best offensive line.
Yeah, absolutely.
Tackles in, they're really good. And by the way, they lost a Hall of Fame in Kelsey, center, and the new guy they have is –
just like they lost a lot of talent to free agency this year,
backups. They draft a guy out of Alabama with a blown knee. He's back, and he's an All-American, and he's great. They draft another guy in the 3rd round, make him a guard until Kelsey's gone, and make him the new center, and the other guy's guard. And whatever it is, they get guys in there, and they're good. And I agree, it's more about that than the guys pushing behind. But they're going to vote on it. It will be interesting. We got a lot of other stuff to get to here this morning. Aaron Rodgers, man, what are you going to do, brother? What are you going to do this morning? Marlins Pirates opener, 4:10 start. First of 7 at home to start the season with the Pirates. And then I believe the New York Mets are coming to town next week.
You pumped up for baseball?
I am for opener.
Yeah.
And then we'll see. They got, I know they got a big crowd coming tonight, but yeah, I think we're, you know, it's, I'm like everybody else. I saw the, you know, a lot of articles and what they think they're going to win for the year and the talent they have and everything and, you know, what it's going to look like going against one of the two or three best pitchers in baseball tonight and how long Sandy Alcantara going to be here because they're already getting trade offers for him. He hasn't even...
Two starts?
Is that what they're saying?
When do you trade him? When do you... Well, if, say if you're the Yankees, you want him for the whole year, right? So why not make
it... Let him struggle for a while. I know what you're thinking. What if he blows it out again? Yeah.
I mean, that'd be... You have a, you know, a beautiful car sitting here. You don't want to get wrecked. And he, look, if you're a Marlins fan, you want Sandy Alcantara to go to a good team, to be traded, and go somewhere where his talent can be used towards winning. It's a hard thing to, because you want to be optimistic on opening day, and you look at the lineup they're throwing out there, and you're like, wow.
They haven't come out with the lineup.
Are, right? I wrote a column, and my question for the season is who, because I don't know the three quarters of this team.
Well, and some of the guys you do know from last year are injured,
and a lot of guys are hurt,
which is potentially
four pitchers are hurt right now. A couple will be coming back in a couple weeks, and then a couple of their everyday
Sanchez
and
most
Norby
home runs
are
and Norby,
their big prospect.
That's
are,
right,
are hurt so. It's, you know, Clayton McCullough, he wanted to be a major league coach. He comes from the Dodgers. Dodgers payroll, $320 million.
There you go. Oof. 32.
I'm used to talking the small numbers.
That, by the way, that's a utility player now for the Dodgers, $32 million a year.
That's the trainer. The Marlins, $47 million. 47. And when they trade Alcantara, $17 million contract. They're going to have the players' union all over them this year.
Yeah, they will. That will happen, and of course, you know, they get a big check for being down at the bottom, and people are going, "What are you doing with that $70 million you're getting for revenue sharing and all that stuff?" Hey, so anyway, we'll talk more about baseball as we get set for the opener today, and all the things around. Especially, you got kids and. Kids are out of school right now to go out and enjoy yourself and not be in a hurry today and getting towards the weekend here. But this Aaron Rodgers thing's really interesting to me. You know, he's found a way to once again upset a lot of people with this waiting so long as decision, but pretty much everybody has gone out and signed a quarterback, at least a Band-Aid of a quarterback, except the Steelers. I think Aaron Rodgers got all the leverage in the world. And the worst thing he can do is go, I'm 41, I quit, if I don't get what I want. Now, I don't know what's holding him up. He knows everything about Pittsburgh. The guy's not stupid. He knows what he'd be throwing to. He knows what the offensive line looks like. Probably has a good feel now talking to his would-be head coach. And he realizes he's not going to be in New York. This is not a Jets. It's a well-structured organization with great stability and tradition. And so he just – but he's sitting there, and we got a shortage of quarterbacks. And what's Pittsburgh going to do? They have the 10th pick. 10th pick. There's a good chance those first two guys are gone. Now, I don't know how everybody feels about Sanders. I know Ward's going to be gone. Cam Ward is going to be gone. If not first, somebody's going to jump up. And,
yeah, he's going to be gone the first pick, no matter who takes it, right?
So, I can't imagine. Some people do have Shedeur Sanders dropping in the first round. I don't know enough about him. I watched him. He was on TV all the time. Colorado is a love affair because of Deion to start with and what they have and a real – great two-way player on the outside that's also going to be a top five player, most likely. And then Sanders. I don't know how much everybody likes him.
Well, if you're Cleveland, this is your way out of the just dismal contract you're in right now because you got to draft a rookie quarterback. Look at what Denver did when they had the Russell Wilson contract. They draft Bo Nix, and all of a sudden they're out of it. Not because he's a good quarterback, first of all, but also that's the way
you
know, rookie contract. And that's what the question is, Cleveland, what do they think of Shedeur Sanders?
It is amazing how quickly Denver turned everything around from Russell Wilson and those Russell Wilson was going to be the future, and then all of a sudden that coach gets fired, Nathaniel Hackett, and in comes the next coach, and he's really friggin' good.
Well, I was going to say, there's the answer for a lot of in sports. You get that one guy who knows what he's doing, and
he knows what he's doing.
Sean Payton knows what he's doing.
Whether you like him or not, some people don't like the guy the way he is, but he knows what he's doing because he has flipped that around. That thing's come a long way since we put 70 on him down here. They've had a strong finish, come back last year, and got in the playoffs, and we got to watch it at the game. They had that game on the whole time. The Jets just 7, 14, 21. Like, are you guys going to quit? We're going to keep going. You know, because you're not getting in the playoffs. By halftime, that game was over for after Denver took off and won that game. But this Aaron Rodgers thing, you don't have enough guys. Like, he's still got great value, and he knows it.
There's one more quarterback out there who's got to be coming out. Is Kirk Cousins.
They picked up that $10 million.
He's going to wait till after the draft. He's going to wait till after the draft so that a team doesn't draft a young quarterback over him again.
Well, he's got to get out of his contract. He is locked up under contract.
Well, he has a no-trade clause, so he can say – I'm sure they want to trade him, right? I mean, it makes no sense for Atlanta.
They said.
I know what they're saying.
They're saying he's going to be our backup.
That makes no sense.
None.
None at all. So they're going to trade him. He's got to allow them to trade
wants
him
out.
Right now.
He does not want to be a backup.
And he would, I would think, want to go to Pittsburgh if Pittsburgh's a nice situation, perfect situation for Aaron Rodgers, I think, in that, as you said, you got Mike Tomlin, you know, he's a proven coach, and the culture's good. Then you got a lot of veteran guys, on the defense, Hayward, you got T.J. Watt, and guys who need to win now is what I'm saying.
So the only reason he could be sitting out right now is two things. Either he's not sure if he wants to keep playing. If you checked out, you're done at football. Well, every sport. If you checked out and you're not, you start going, I don't know, and this, do I want to go through this after what just happened in New York? And then you're getting stroked and you're going, damn, I can still play though. You see how I played against the Dolphins, and I know I can still play at a high level. And then they're showing you the weapons, and I don't know.
The other reason is there's another team out there. And the whole Minnesota thing was very odd, I thought. Like, Minnesota let it drag out there. Like, either you like J.J. McCarthy or not. Why put J.J. McCarthy under that spotlight?
Yeah, I don't know.
Unless you want to, you know, put some pressure on him just to show what it's like to be an NFL quarterback. But
Dave, everybody, I just figure right now, including Cam Ward's workout and – Tennessee showing up with half the organization, and you're like, wow, if this is a bluff, which it could be, knowing they think somebody really likes Cam Ward and is willing to put together some crazy package of ones and twos and all that stuff, then listen, man, we're all desperate. We're all still looking. If you don't have one of those, I don't know, Dave, we've done so many shows, top 10 guys you're comfortable with. I don't know how many teams are going, no, we got our guy. Like Buffalo and Kansas City and Cincinnati and Baltimore, they know they got their guy. There's no MVPs, close to MVPs, winning playoff games, getting in the playoffs with the best records, in the case of Baltimore, not winning a lot of playoff games, but they know they got their guy. This conversation, when they do talk radio, they don't talk about quarterbacks. They got that. They got a guy. I know I'm missing some more guys. I know Jaden Daniels is great. I'm about ready to put him on that list, but you do have to
give it another year. Yeah. But you're right. He
looked phenomenal in the playoffs.
The only way that I think Tennessee doesn't take Cam Ward, and they get a monster haul for him, and then they trade for Kirk Cousins, because they're not going to go into this season with Will Levis as their quarterback.
But then you're just going back to the whole Band-Aid thing.
No, I agree.
Band-Aided it a lot down here.
I think it'd be insane for them not to take Cam Ward assuming they think he's
I agree.
The real deal.
Because I mean, I'm going to call this. If they don't take him, I'm going to go like this. You got me.
Right.
I've never seen anybody put that much money and effort in flying so many people down, social media, taking them out to dinner, making sure everybody knows you took them to dinner, and then going, it was just all the big trap.
I think that's the easiest call of all on draft day. Cleveland at number two is where things start to get interesting. And I tell you why it's interesting for the Dolphins is if they take Shedeur Sanders, that means one of the guys, the highest rated guys, non-quarterback, falls to the Patriots, a team that has just massively bought players and rebuilt their roster. And then they'll get one of these great, either Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter from Colorado.
They can get a special player, whether it's a cover guy, whether it's a guy that can get to the quarterback, could be a tackle if they're in love with that offensive line. It was terrible last year. We got to go to break here, man. We've got a lot more stuff to get to here this morning as we continue. We haven't talked about Pat Riley and his day. We'll talk a little bit about the Heat. They get set to take on the Atlanta Hawks after, I think, a game yesterday really put a big smile on my face. It was just so much fun to watch that kind of effort. Two straight for the Heat. Boy, I'll tell you what, I don't know how many people had a chance to see it or saw clips of it or part of it, but it was pretty good yesterday. And the reason I bring it up, I'm talking about LeBron James spent an hour and 15 minutes with Pat McAfee. It was really good. It was really, really good. I know LeBron's talked about a lot of these things, but he basically, they covered everything. The MJ relationship is now a lot of people believe the two greatest players of all time. I probably agree. Hate to do it, going way, way back, and I know we're leaving
Bill
a lot.
Russell in there.
Well, that's
11
the whole
titles.
Thing.
Will, but
I know there's been some great players.
But LeBron clearly to me is at Michael's level of his career. How he's still at 40, a top 5, 10 player in the league.
Yes, still.
And if the Lakers make a
certain
run,
nights looks two or three.
He's still a dominant player.
So anyway, they were asked about some stuff, and he got back to, after leaving Cleveland, where he'd been his whole life, lived in Akron. He said he lived in Akron his first year that he played for Cleveland, and that's all he knew. So he said, that was going to college for him because he didn't go to college. Went right into the NBA and talked about coming down here and playing down here and winning two champions. He got into all stuff, and then they got into the chocolate chip cookies on the plane. And he was asked, hey, is Dwayne Wade's story? He goes, yeah. And he said, you know, Pat, they're having fun with it, and they cursed some of it out, so I didn't know. You saw apparently some of what was said there, but they got in a lot in the culture. Now, Jimmy Butler talked about the culture, and the culture is great players, not take anything away from what they build and what they develop. Seems to be a lot of people taking jabs. And I get it, because I know friends from other markets are going, dude, you guys ever get tired of the Heat culture, bro? Like, this culture thing, I'm surprised Riley hasn't tried to get Heat culture and own the rights to that.
Well, they put it on the court. See, I think they made a mistake when they made it a marketing campaign. They put it on the court, Heat culture. They made T-shirts, Heat culture.
They did.
It should have been like Bill Belichick did it the right way with the Patriots way. But the Patriots way, this he goes and he said, I never use that term. I never. But to me,
but you have to admit when you hear culture, what do you think of first?
To me, Heat culture though is this. We're going to maximize every season to what it is. There will not be rebuilding. We're going to try to win every year. And the goal is championships. It's not to make the playoffs. It's not to win a playoff series. The goal is championships. And if we don't reach that goal, we're going to come back harder the next year and try. That's what Heat culture is. And yes, of course, players matter in this. I mean,
great players
that doesn't
are great
need to
players.
Be said.
Yes.
I mean, look what Riley has proven is he's going to go out and he will do anything to get those great players. Look what he did for Alonzo Mourning, for Shaquille O'Neal.
He wasn't afraid to make big trades. Not afraid at all. Matter of fact, a couple of them got got turned down, right? Last second, commissioner stepped in and didn't let
the Juwan Howard and
Juwan Howard Chris first Weber. Time come
yeah,
around.
Yeah.
So Dave, the other thing when I think of culture is development of players and doing it the Heat way. I think the Heat do certain things and ask more of their players than other organizations do. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I think the standard
strict on
is
weight,
there. And
strict on body fat. We're going to get you in shape like you've never been. We've had a lot of guys come in here with body fat, and he makes it real clear. By the way, that's why this Zion Williamson stuff that's out there about we're going to trade for him because he's still a young guy and he's always hurt and he's always heavy just doesn't fit the culture. Do they think they can rehabilitate him?
Well, that's the question right there. If Riley –
is he going to drink
a
read
on
juice?
Him? And but yeah, why is Zion Williamson? It'd be sort of like Joel Embiid. There's a guy who would never fit the Heat culture. He's never in great shape.
Well,
always getting hurt, and now he's old. But I'm saying even when he was in his prime, he unless he had a mental change of how he approaches the game and his life in basketball, and that's with Zion Williamson. I saw those rumors like they'd have to be sure that he's gonna flip the switch.
No way. There's no way you can trust certain guys. Certain guys are just not gonna change. Like he's gonna go out and eat late at night, and I don't care about the other stuff. But if you
what is Riley doing taking away LeBron's chocolate chip?
That's
cookies?
Stupid. I don't get that.
I don't
dumbest
get
thing.
That. I'd have to.
Like,
I'd
why
have to
would
hear...
you mess with that guy? Like, do you have a problem with what problem do you have with LeBron? You do that with
what is
Zion
the backstory
Williamson
on that
like,
from no. Riley's side? Because to me, it just looks like
so petty.
Petty, like here's your best player. He likes chocolate chip cookies.
Why would you
cookies.
Do anything to mess with that guy? Well, all of a sudden, and take his cookies away like he's 5 years old, Johnny.
You,
no,
if you have a message for him, and Riley's way is very direct. We know that, and so I wouldn't think it'd be through chocolate chip cookies. That wouldn't be your message.
Anyway, they had a good laugh about it yesterday. It wasn't like LeBron was all, but he started. He did tell the whole story about the waitress. Then they made him, and they made him a certain way that he loved. He said, "Man, their cookies were. They baked them right on the plane there, and they're nice and fresh. And we'd get ready to play cards, and before I'd have a couple of chocolate chip cookies and." Lady looked at me with an awkward look and said, no. And D-Wade looked at him and they let Pat Riley. The first thing they just went, Pat Riley. Why the hell would Pat Riley? Wasn't even coaching the team at that point. Why would he be concerned?
Well, that'd be you'd have to ask. Like, you have to hear it from Riley. But
so anyway,
now the other thing, Joe, I wish he'd got into this. The Heat taught LeBron how to win, how to work at a championship level, how to build a championship team. He came down here for 4 years of graduate school of winning from Pat Riley and the Heat.
He did say that.
He did, okay.
And he also brought up his first year, much still bothered him. He learned a lot in that Dallas series where all of a sudden he turned into Magic Johnson, wanted to be the assist leader or something. Remember, he wouldn't shoot the ball.
Look, failure is part of being a champion,
too. He said he learned,
too.
But he said he talked about learning lessons. So it's funny, and Jimmy Butler the other day, just to follow up, he took some shots at the Heat culture, but at the same time, he said, hey, man, I mean, you look stupid if you say it doesn't work, because they've won a ton down here. Even if we come up a little bit short, we're doing a lot of winning. A lot of playoff winning, too, with a lot of different people, right? Zoe and Timmy Hardaway didn't get the whole way, but they won a lot of friggin' playoff games. They had some great series, great times. I got part of the great history of sports down here, but it is funny.
I just think there's a lot of, and you hear it from LeBron and Jimmy in the last couple of days. They want to be acknowledged, I was the guy running the show here and not Pat. You know, it was me. It was the players who made it work. But that's part of. It's sort of the Tom Brady.
I thought that was a given.
You're right. It's the Tom Brady Belichick.
You got to have great players. Ain't nobody winning with a bunch of Joe Roses. You got to have some really good players.
So
totally agree. So. Nobody's arguing that. But they're all bringing it up. It's like, hey, let me just tell you about this Heat culture thing, man. Now, you're right. They do it a certain way. But you still got to have damn good players. You ain't going out there going, man, how are these guys winning? All right, hey, Dave, we got to go to break. We got 7 o'clock hour coming up. We got a lot more stuff to get to. But, yeah, people starting to take some shots at old Pat Riley, man. Wonder, I cannot wait for the end of year press conference on this team and all the questions that Dave Hyde and his friends and Ira, all the rest of them, are going to be hitting Pat Riley with. Hell, I may have to show up to that one just to hear what he has to say.
Well, look, I'm in the bag for Pat Riley. So what he's done in the last 30 years in South Florida compared to
the other franchise,
yeah. they're the gold standard, right?
100%.
But there are questions like the cookie thing, that has to be asked.
And what have you done for me lately? And, you know, all that stuff comes.